big day, Joe.
Oh.
You know? JFK files going to be released.
That's right. Any minute now.
You excited to comb through those?
I think I'll trust someone else. 100,000
pages of files?
I'll trust someone else, too.
Can you believe there's 100,000 pages of files?
I mean, they weren't as responsible with paper back then.
Supposedly unredacted.
Yes, yes. I believe the words were, I told them they should be unredacted.
So all this, you know what happened? Got shot in the head.
I know that part, but who shot?
Yeah, well.
Do you, like,
not going to bring anyone back to life, that's for sure.
No. I never, like, gave any thought to any of this stuff until it was brought up on the campaign trail and I started looking into it. And I was like, oh, wow, there's a lot of things being said.
You... Wait a second. So
I mean, I knew about it.
You never, like...
I never, like, went down any rabbit holes.
Like, JFK or whatever until, like, 2024.
Until it was brought up and I saw, like, people's reactions. Like, Rogan was talking about it. And, like, people were talking about it. Bowerly was talking about it.
You're just now realizing this is
interesting? I knew what people were saying, but I never, like, dug in deep. I would just hear things on the surface.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once I heard, like, oh, these could actually be... Like, what could these entail? I go, wow, there's some stuff out there.
You can dig in deep now, Joe.
Like I said, I'll probably trust someone else. Like, I know Bowerly's really into it. I will have Bowerly comb through it, and I will listen to him.
80,000 pages? How quickly do you think you could read 80,000 pages?
Well...
So these files are coming out today.
Yeah.
When, from today, let's say it's noon today, how long... would you have to give before you could trust somebody that they've, you know, quote unquote, combed through all the pages?
Oh, I would probably guess it would take someone to actually read page for page by the end of the weekend.
That's it?
But you have people who this is going to be their job. Like, you have newsrooms, they're going to dedicate someone to read page by page.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
We're running pretty thin here now, Joe. Newsrooms across the country?
I guarantee there's one.
If you run a newsroom and you can afford to pay somebody to read 80,000 pages of JFK, spoiler alert, shot in the head, files, like, hit me up.
You have people that comb through, you have people that read Supreme Court decisions regularly. That's their job.
Well, yeah.
Give them the papers.
80,000 pages is something that's...
I guarantee there will be a newsroom out there that gives someone, that's your job. Comb through this. Don't skim it. Comb through it.
I think it's more than the weekend. How long does it take you to read a book?
8 hours a day? 8 hours... Well, you're asking someone who read Spark Notes to get through high school. So...
8 hours a day... You're really reading it. You're not just skimming through it. Because there's a difference.
Right. Well, I'm not the person that would
be
dedicated.
You're not just like, you know, just combing through everything. You're reading it. You're marking it up, probably.
Yeah, I think you're also missing. I mean, there are some people who they've been living for this. They will spend their whole day from sun up to sundown.
Sure. You spend 15 hours a day.
I think you can have it by
reading
the end.
These pages.
I think by Hardline on Sunday, you could have it done?
No. I don't want to hear...
Someone might have it done by Hardline on Sunday.
April.
April?
April Fool's Day is when I'll start listening to somebody.
There's professional readers out there.
I understand, but come on. To read it, mark down what... It's 80,000 pages. What's the longest book you've ever read?
The longest book? I've actually read the actual book.
Mm-hmm.
David's first book.
How many pages is that?
I don't know how many pages, but that's the longest book that I've actually read.
Get him on the horn.
And didn't like.
What's he saying?
And didn't cheat. Like, I actually read page for page.
I texted.
Because you told me I needed to read a book, and I did. I read David's first book.
That's
House to House.
I think mine is like 700.
Wow. Was that Harry Potter?
Or was that 700 too?
That's just a big book.
Yeah, the last one was the huge one.
Yeah, people would read that.
That might have been like near 700.
I remember people reading that in the cafeteria, like when the first one, whatever came out when we were in high school, just reading it in the cafeteria.
I thought that was like 500 pages or so, but I like around there, and it took me a couple of weeks at least.
How many day? How many pages a day did you, like, how many hours were you committing to reading that book?
If I was into it, I was probably reading it every single day.
Right.
For at least a couple of hours.
Okay.
And you got through 700, and it took me a couple of weeks.
Now replace going to school.
Okay, but that's 2 hours for, so now if we multiply that times how often, you know, how, let's, 14 hours a day, you're sitting there reading these files. So you're still not anywhere near 80,000 pages.
But you know what else you didn't do? Now, again, I'd like to have a human read through these, but I guarantee AI is going to sift through it and give us a summary.
Oh, yeah, I'll believe that one.
I'm just saying. Hopefully not Apple's AI, according to Mike Dubusky.
I'll trust that one. Other news today, Joe, we were talking with Peter Hunt earlier this morning about the big move of Ingram Micro downtown.
I'm glad you brought this up because I have a comment on this as well.
You go first.
Okay. You played Supervisor Culpa on In Depth this morning, mm-hmm. talking about how he, you know, believes that that won't sit vacant for long because it's a great office building. I don't dispute it being a great office building. Have you driven down Worley lately? There's a ton of empty office space. Mm. What makes that location's no different than the one across the street? What makes the Ingram Micro facility that you think? Again, I think he's just trying to be optimistic, and that's his job as supervisor.
Well, not just optimistic. You want to sell it too?
Well, of course.
You don't want to. You know,
but I think you'd also want to sell the old Wilson Farms headquarters. You'd want to sell. Yeah. I mean, there is a side of Worley for a block. It is nothing but empty buildings. Again, I love Western New York. I'm hoping that something moves in there. I want Worley to be full of business. I think he's being a little too optimistic, just given the status of things on Worley,
or given the current working environment.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like it is nothing to do with Amherst or any. Like, I think people were surprised if you heard Ingram Micro makes big move in Western New York. I think you would have expected. I mean, we were just hearing about national job cuts across the company there. I think you would have expected, like, moving half the jobs remote.
Right, exactly. Going to a smaller space.
Moving from one to another, you would have heard of downsizing is what everyone would have expected because that's the current climate of things.
Right.
Right? I would kind of agree with you on that. Like, I'm not as optimistic. I hope something happens. I'm not as optimistic for something to happen there as the supervisor is. Hopefully, somebody moves in there. It's just, who's clamoring for a ton of office space right now?
Exactly.
It's going to be hard to find. One of the things Peter Hunt did say, though, about the building downtown was it's not just cubicles and, you know, whatever that they're offering. It's you have some place that builds a little bit more of a culture. You get people who want to go to work where you got a lot of remote jobs. It's you want to attract people who want to actually come into the building. You're offering more things. Things like he was mentioning the cafeteria. They've got a lot of on-site parking there that I guess you also have an Amherst, but you know, it comes from more than just the office. A gym.
Included?
Joe, why would I ever want to go to a gym? I don't care if it's free.
Oh.
Why would I ever want to go to a gym in the building where I know everyone who works in the building?
Can I just give you, this is what I think. If I worked a 9-to-5 job, okay, and I could have my lunch break as my workout, I would. If there's a shower there, shower up, I'm back at my desk, that would
free
up. How
long of a lunch are you taking?
Well, again,
you ever
want to
work?
You want to. Have you seen me? No. I mean, you want to build a culture? Give me 90 minutes. I'll go do my workout.
I hate being rushed. I hate, like, being on the clock like that.
You never, like.
You got an hour and you want me to undress, get a workout in, shower, redress, be back.
I'm just saying how
That's
I would
a little
view
much.
It. I'm just saying how I would view it. Or being able to work out in the morning like I do now, but work out in the morning and then I'm already at work. I shower, I go up to my desk. It's pretty convenient.
I understand the convenience. I just don't want to go to a gym where I know all the people there. I don't want to talk to people at the gym.
I mean, I don't know the people at my gym, but I see the same people every day.
Right, but you don't know them. You're not, seeing the same people and then going to work or going somewhere else and then talking to those people.
I guess you're right.
It's you can see the same people every day, nod, wave. That's the extent of your conversation. You see people who you regularly have conversations with, then you're going to have a conversation with them again at the gym.
Yeah.
I don't want that at all.
I agree with you on that one.
If I was working here, I would still go somewhere else.
I like the convenience, and if it's a free gym membership, you know me, Brian, I'm taking free. But I do hate when I'm slowed down with a workout because someone sees me and decides to now have a 20-minute conversation. That's 20 minutes I could be working out.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I understand that, but F-R-E-E, that spells free, I'll take that all day.
I don't know. It would have to be a pretty darn good gym.
And I like working out in the morning. I wish I could. I wish I was still working out in the morning now, but it works out better to work out in the afternoon, my schedule. But to have that, and now you can just work up till you have to punch in, I don't mind that at all.
The convenience, I understand.
Yeah, that might outweigh, especially if I go in the morning. Who else is going to be there?
I don't know. Usually a lot of these office places don't. It's like a hotel gym.
I was just going to say.
Not really.
We're talking about a gym, and it's the Hampton Inn.
Yeah. They don't have anything that you want. You know, they got that, multi-use machine that's just...
Yeah, the Bowflex?
A piece of junk. It's broken half the time. Stuff doesn't work. Not a single bench in there.
I'm sorry to go to Storyland, but this last football season, we're staying at a Microtel in West Virginia on our way to see the Hokies play. And I was like, okay, I'm going to sleep for 10-15 minutes more, which I know is a dumb trade-off, and I'll just work out here instead of going to the Planet Fitness in town. I get to the hotel gym. Two of the machines that I wanted to use are broken. So I just went for a run. I go, this is an awful trade-off.
And that's half the machines that are there. Right.
Oh, it was 66% of the machines that were there.
And then, Joe, I know you talked about this last week when you were in for David, but there's another story on it, and I got to bring it up here. Channel 4 doing a story on Sweet Home's new busing policy that I know you were talking about, where one of the ways they're going to deal with a shortage in bus drivers is... Starting next school year, students within a quarter mile of their elementary school will be walking to school. Now, the story on Channel 4 says that the bus shortage solution receives failing grade from parents. And it has a few, first, you were talking about this last week.
Yeah.
What were people saying? What's the general...
I got... People were disagreeing with me. I'm all for, as someone who walked to school in third grade in Hornell, which was a lot further than the radius they're talking about at Sweet Home. I said, you walk, you get a walking buddy. I walked under train tracks to go to school, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to sound like the guy who walked, uphill both ways, but I had to walk across the four lane under the railroad tracks to the intermediate school in Hornell. And it was fine. Met people along the way. So I have no problem. I think, and hey, get off your butt. Get off the couch. Walk to school.
803-0930 if you want to weigh in on this at all.
So, but people were disagreeing with that, just to answer your question.
So people are disagreeing with that inside this Channel 4 story, which had a couple of quotes I thought were very interesting. This is from Kim Perini, who was a parent in the district. This is the quote. Is this really fixing the transportation issue? Currently, my elementary student is coming home 40-50 minutes after release. They talked to somebody else, Tiffany Bass. The walking is unsafe, and there are no measures put in place for their safety. No crossing guards, barely sidewalks, harsh winters, and predator concerns. All those cougars out there, right? She said she understands the bus driver shortage, but wants the district to listen to parents. Okay, am I missing something here? So if you're a parent, and this would impact your child. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe. When you are dropping off an elementary, or what's the age? We'll start with this. What is the age that you first went home alone by yourself?
You mean no babysitter was home?
No babysitter, no after-school care. The bus could drop you off. You used the key to unlock the door, and you were home by yourself.
So sixth grade, what was that, 2012?
Yes. That's exactly what I was going to say. I think that's what I always heard.
Yeah.
Like, that is the age where it's okay to do. So that's middle school.
Yep.
This, we're talking about elementary school students.
Yes.
So correct me if I'm wrong in any part in this. The bus dropping off these kids within a quarter mile of school. Now, we have this parent who says, my student's coming home 40, 50 minutes after release. I have a easy way for you to solve that if that's an issue for you. Walk to the frickin' school and get your kid.
Yeah.
For you live within a quarter mile of school. Oh, my, where's my kid coming home so late? Why don't you walk to the school and get your kid? Because if I'm not mistaken, the bus is dropping them off with somebody, right? If you're so worried about kid's safety, you're not going to be dropping off little Timmy, who's in first grade, home alone by himself, are you?
Would hope not.
I don't think so.
No.
We have another, walking's unsafe, predator concerns. Well, if you're concerned about your son or daughter walking into, one, I would say, you know, I grew up in the Sweet Home District. I know the areas around the elementary schools. If this is our dangerous, you know, like we can't walk a quarter mile area, we're doing pretty well for ourselves here in Western New York. Not exactly Skid Row you're walking through to get home around an elementary school and Sweet Home school district.
Right.
But if you're very concerned about it, well, you live within a quarter mile of the school.
Right.
Take a little half mile walk, put a coat on, maybe a scarf and some gloves, and get out there yourself.
Yeah.
Or am I missing something?
No, because like you said, these kids are getting dropped off to somebody. Someone is there. Believe me, I've been behind these buses before. There's a parent there. They're getting dropped off to someone. So, yeah, it might take a little effort by you, the parent. And, you know, people are going to say, well, you know, I still work. Well, I'm sure you are. I'm sure for the working parents that both parents are working, there's a plan in place. Like for me, me and my sister went to the after school program at the elementary school at Smallwood, and that's where we stayed until my parents came and picked us up.
I had to go. There was after school at school. Other times I was at an after school at the Pepsi Center, now the Northtown Center over in Amherst, that the bus would take me to, and if that's you, the bus would still take you to. And that happened until I was able to be trusted to be dropped off at home alone.
Yeah.
And if you're trusted to be dropped off at home alone,
you can walk home alone.
It's less than a quarter mile.
Yep.
This is a quarter. We're not talking about people walking from the high school all the way to the other side of Sweet Home School District. We're talking about elementary schools in neighborhoods where people live in the neighborhood. You know, think of the elementary schools in Sweet Home, Willow Ridge Elementary School. It's right in the middle of a neighborhood. So if you're walking home from that school, I mean, you're walking on the sidewalk and you're probably not walking any further than where the bus would drop you off from home.
Exactly.
You're right in that neighborhood. If I'm missing something, you can let me know, 803-0930, but if you're really that concerned, walk to the school yourself.
Quarter mile, that's 0.25 miles, right? That's a quarter mile.
Yes, Joe.
I walked 0.8 miles to school in third and fourth grade. Then we moved to Amherst, and things were a little different. My parents didn't trust us walking. We stayed at the after-school program.
I'm gonna bet you didn't have sidewalks.
In Hornell, no, a lot of the walk did not have a sidewalk. You are absolutely correct.
And we offense to Hornell.
No, there were parts. Like, our street did. But a lot of the walkways didn't. Like, when I walked in front of the Comfort Inn, there was no sidewalk. There was the tunnel under the railroad tracks, and one day I thought I would look cool walking over them, and wasn't that the one day my mom was driving by, saw me on the railroad tracks? I never heard the end of that.
It grabbed you by the ear and threw you in the car.
Yeah, but then we moved to Amherst, and we lived further than a quarter mile away, and my parents would drive us to school, and then, like I said, we stayed at the after-school program. There was a system in place. I don't think this is a ridiculous request by Sweet Home.
If I'm missing something, let me know. 803-0930, BMAZ and Beamer on WBEN. It's Brian Mazeroski and Joe Beamer on WBEN. Looking for somebody to tell me what I'm missing here. Two stories of outcry over Sweet Home's new policy. Hoping to avoid, you know, we've been talking about this for a number of years now, Joe. Bus driver shortage throughout everywhere.
Yeah.
But especially hitting us here in Western New York. One of their solutions, if you live within a quarter mile of an elementary school, walk to school starting next year. apparently there's some people not happy. At least that's what I saw in the story on Channel 4. Jasper in Lockport, you're on WBEN. Jasper, what's going on?
Hi, good morning. I want to tell you exactly what you're missing, I think. It's a two-part story. Number one, we live in a whole different society now than what we did 30 years ago, I think. And I'm not in favor or nor against this busing problem. 30 years ago, we didn't have the economy we have today. We had one parent staying home. Now we have two parents at work to make ends meet. Children are going home that the parent can't be there. Not too many mothers can find a job that goes to work at 9:30 in the morning, is home by 2 o'clock when their child gets out of school. Therefore, that child that can walk a quarter of a mile to school doesn't always go home from school to the same location. They go to a friend's house. They go to a grandparent's house. They go to daycare centers, which would be further away.
Well, then they'll still go there, Jasper. Yeah. That's the thing. They'll still go there.
They're not going to stop them from going to their grandparents.
Right. But what I'm also saying is, another situation with a shortage of bus drivers. I retired 7 years ago, and I took a job for 1 year as a bus driver. And it was crazy. I had to have a CDL, which I already had. I had to have a passenger endorsement, which I already had. I had to have a certificate of health. I had to have an agility test. I had to have first aid training. Then I had to show that I could get in and out of the bus fast enough and do this and do that and all these other requirements. I had to be responsible for your most precious cargo, your children, which if they're acting up on the bus, you can't yell at them, you can't make them sit down, you can't do anything. All you can do is say please, and when they tell you off, well, that's what you've got to do. But yet if they get hurt, you're going to be responsible. God forbid if a car runs your red lights and the child gets hit, why didn't you stop them from crossing? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Okay. In addition to that, I would go to work at 6 o'clock in the morning, work for 3 or 4 hours, then I'd have to go home to kill a couple hours, then I'd go back to work again and work for 3 or 4 more hours, and then I'd go home. So my day would turn into about an 11-hour day, mm-hmm. including 2 trips to and from work. That's 10 trips a week to go to and from work, working 11 hours a day for about 5 or 6 hours pay, and I was making less money than what I could make if I worked at McDonald's flipping burgers and couldn't even put a piece of cheese on the hamburger straight.
Yeah, Jasper, it's when we were talking about this bus driver shortage about a year ago or more, I forget when we were doing the show, I said, here's the solution. It's very simple. You pay bus drivers at least $100,000 a year.
Well, I'm not saying that.
Why not? But why not? Look, well, at the Buffalo School District last just 2 years ago was bragging about the $1 billion in funding that it got. And it couldn't get kids to school because it couldn't get bus drivers. Is that what it's going to take to get kids to school? Then do it.
Well, the other thing is, too, I look at bureaucracy and I look at how our government has grown. And I think our schools have grown in the same proportion. We used to have one principal. Now you've got a principal with 3 secretaries. Then you've got a vice principal with 3 more secretaries. Then you've got an assistant to the vice principal with 2 or 3 more secretaries. How many principals and administration do you need and office staff do you need to run a school?
Have 7 of them. They all have to have a CDL, though.
Same thing. You know, each school has the exact same setup. You know, it's ridiculous. You know, we used to have one person doing a job. Now you have to have 5 to do that job.
It is kind of crazy. Hey, Jasper, thank you for the call. You bring up a couple points. One, I would, and I'm picturing in my head, Joe, at least 2, I would pay money to see a couple of my former bus drivers do this agility test. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
I would love it. I can think of 2 in my head. I don't think they're passing. They let him drive anyway, though.
Of course. I only can think of 1 bus driver. And her name was Jane.
Really?
She drove when I was in North Hornell. Jane. I don't think Jane's still with us, but she was a very nice lady.
I mean, the other thing, he thinks I'm joking. And I feel like a lot of people think I'm joking. We were doing the show, a year and a half ago, last year around, not this past September, but the one before. We're talking about the bus driver crisis. Pay them $100,000 a year. Is that what it's going to take to get all this money going through New York City? We're giving $15 million to schools to tell kids, hey, put down the phone.
Yeah. Doesn't mean that we should be spending that money.
No, but we are. And yet we can't find money anywhere to hire a bus driver, which, gets the kids into school. The schools are kind of useless when the kids aren't in there. That's the thing.
Yeah.
When no one's sitting in the seat and you're not teaching anybody, I mean, what good does all the other money do?
I did not realize that you needed a seat. This might sound dumb. I did not realize you needed a CDL to be a bus driver. I don't remember that coming up when we talked about this a year
ago. You need a lot of specialized training, which is part of the issue. And it's like, well, if I have this, why would I drive kids around when I could drive packages that don't talk back? Like, that's what any normal person would say, right? I mean, you really have to be a special person to want to drive a bus, to want to... I mean, it's almost like a volunteer job. You're getting paid, but, you know, to think about it like that, you could drive boxes. It's a heck of a lot easier.
Yeah.
No offense to all the package drivers, but you're making the stop. You have to now get out and deliver it to the doorstep. Okay, but they're not talking back. They're not jumping around the seat. They're not throwing a spitball at the back of your head. You have to make that choice to go and do that for less money. You're basically volunteering your time. You're a saint.
You wanna pay him $100,000, Brian. I think then that those drivers are available for everything, right? There's no, we have to wait.
They already are.
Not all of them. Some of them go to other jobs in the middle of the day, right? It's a split shift.
What job are they going to that you can work from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m.?
Same what I do in the afternoon, because I've talked to them.
Okay, well, I have no problem with that. We need bus drivers to do the job. You don't have them. So
no, you don't.
How are you going to get them? We're spending the money on everything?
Doesn't mean we should. I'll go back. Doesn't mean you should be spending the money.
But you are.
Yeah. Well, I don't think what Sweet Home's doing is wrong, and I think other districts should probably follow suit.
That's the bus driver thing is its own thing. In the meantime, you're trying to deal with the problem. I'm of the same mind, Joe. I don't find any fault in what Sweet Home is saying. Starting next September, if you live within a quarter mile of school, you go to an elementary school, you're walking to school.
Yeah.
Where I find fault, where I can't wrap my head around it. You know, we had the caller bring in like, oh, well, parents are worried. Well, something is happening to the kid. I mean, these are elementary school kids. They're presumably not going home by themselves.
To an empty house, yeah.
If you have already, they're being dropped off somewhere else at a grandparent's house or wherever, they'll continue to be done. I mean, we're having a look at for next year what we want with our kids. Neither of us are home by the time a bus would come in the morning.
Right.
You know, my son isn't going to start school until like 9:30.
Oh, that's right.
It's insane. We've been at work for hours at that point. So what do we have to? We have to figure out how are they going to get to school. We're not leaving them in the house. No, right. Hey, fix your breakfast lockup. He's 5. We're going to wait a few years before that begins. Even though, you know what, I think he probably could do it.
You're not going to be like like Matilda?
No, we're not going to have the Matilda treatment. So I don't want a movie being made about us. But we have to figure out something. And that something might be, okay, well, you have to go over to a babysitter's house. Right. And the bus picks you up from there and drops you back off there. And that's how it works. I drive by daycare sometimes when the bus comes by. There's all the parents waiting by the daycare because that's where the bus is dropping the kid off because that's how they had to make the schedule work.
Right.
I mean, this is what happens. And now I'm reading a quote from a parent. My elementary student is coming up. Now, I'm assuming because they talked to this parent, this is someone who would be affected by this, or else why would she be interviewed for the story? My elementary student is coming home 40, 50 minutes after release. How are we fixing the transportation? I mean, if this is you, walk to the school and get your kid. It doesn't take you 40 minutes to walk a quarter mile. You can get things right in. And if they're coming home, I mean, I'm assuming you're home. What am I missing here? Matt in Lackawanna, you're on WBEN.
How you doing? As a retired correction officer, I've been driving a school bus for 7 years. I like your idea of the $100,000 a year. Try to push that through before October, otherwise I won't take Social Security.
Yeah, well, I'll try, Matt. I'll try.
But it's a demanding job. There's no doubt they should get paid more. It's kind of like dealing with the HALT Act, but in school buses, there's a lot of these kids get away with murder. They don't want to suspend them from the buses. You know, they'll berate you and drop the F-bombs, and you'll write them up, and next Monday or the next day, they're back on your bus.
Mm-hmm.
So you earn every penny. I got a whole new respect for school bus drivers since I've been doing it.
I think a lot of people, Matt, would, if they did the job or saw what went into it. I think 100. How much would you say it's worth, though, if you had to put a price on it, to get and attract more people to drive a school bus?
I would say you start them at minimum of 30 an hour. You start them at 30 an hour because you do go through a lot. I was kind of surprised. I'm going on 7 years now. 30 an hour and with medical benefits. Not all districts have medical benefits. That's always a biggie in any job. But, you know, and then put discipline back in the buses. You don't have – the bus driver doesn't really have a lot of say. And when the kid is suspended, you know, then you have the parents. You're dealing with parents don't realize you got railroad crossings with those railroad arms that go down and they don't go back up. Now mm-hmm. you're behind. You got four schools to do within in a half an hour, 64 kids for each school, and you're stuck in a railroad crossing. Now you're behind the eight ball and – especially picking up, and you know, then you get the parents calling, you're behind in the next school, and then you're behind on all the rest of your schools for the day, or the morning, or the afternoon. And then you have accidents. There's always accidents that are slowing you up. Your bus breaks down. There's so many things you deal with that parents just don't realize. They think that little Johnny is the only kid you're picking up all day. Yeah. It's not. A lot of these big buses have four tiers. They have four schools to do from 6 in the morning till 9:30 in the morning, and there's a lot of stuff you got to go through, you know, before you get them to school.
Hey, Matt, thanks for the call. I like it. You know, I hear some people, Matt says $30 an hour. I can just hear it. You know, people through the radio, I can hear you scoffing at that. And I say, yeah, it's not worth $30 an hour. Are you kidding me? You're only driving my kid. Right? Like, you're only transporting the most important thing to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's an issue, and somehow you've got to fix the issue.
There's somebody on the text board, Joe, said what you kind of said. Well, okay, you pay them more, and then they have more responsibility in the district. No. You pay them more. You pay them the amount. It's supply. It's a supply and demand economy. You don't have the supply of school bus drivers, so you're going to have to figure out the number to meet to do what they currently do, by the way. What's the number that you're going to have to pay to get the adequate amount of bus drivers here? And that's the number that they're going to have to be paid.
To be fair, what I said is take on the higher pay, be available, because we do hear of drivers, well, you know, this driver can't do field trips. You're available all day. You drive them to school. You're available for any in-school activities, any after-school activities. That's your – and then fine. I am fine throwing more money at those drivers.
No, I think – first things first, what do we have to pay him to get kids to and from school? Then I'll worry about all that other stuff. You know, then we'll pay an extra $30 an hour on top of it if you want to do bonus.
Well, that was the point I was making.
Marco in Buffalo. Marco, you're on WBEM. What's going on?
Hey, I went to that Heritage Heights Elementary School in the Sweet Home School District. You know, from the third grade on, everybody walked if it was a mile or a little more.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we didn't have, like, in the school, all these, in the city, I mean, all these slow lanes and bumps, you know. People taught us how to cross the street, how to walk to school. There weren't any sidewalks when I grew up out there. But I think what they need to do is, you know, those bar crawl bicycles where there's 20 people on it all pedaling during the tours of the city?
Yeah.
For kids that live between a half mile and a mile and a half, they get somebody out there with one of those bicycles. The kids are all pedaling on the way to school. They're doing some exercise.
I like it.
A tired kid is a well-behaved kid once he gets to school. Oh. I think they need to get those multi-person bicycles and have the kids take those.
Serve a few Capri Suns, and you're on your way. Hey, Marco, thanks for the call. I mean, that could be... I can just imagine myself if I was stuck behind one of those things.
Yeah, I know.
Not my way to work.
You think getting stuck behind a bus is annoying? Yeah.
that's not going to go. Let's see. 803-09.
Which is another issue I have with the school buses. Like when I was on the bus, when I was taking the bus, there was a bus stop per block.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't go to everyone's driveway.
Yeah. Well,
that's what I mean. Come on. Again, socialize. Meet some kids in the neighborhood. Hey, Billy. I'm Johnny. I live down the street. Nice to meet you. No one else, they're not talking to anyone during the day. You drive through these neighborhoods in the middle of summer. No one's outside on their bikes playing.
Somebody said, in our school district, kids have their parents work early. The school has a before-school program.
Yeah.
Unless I'm missing something, I think that's pretty much every school.
Yeah.
A before-school drop-off, an after-school program, and like that's what happens. or you're going until you are able to go home alone by yourself.
Right.
And if you're able to be home alone by yourself, you can walk a quarter of a mile to wherever your house is.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise, if you're concerned about that, well, you're there.
Right.
If they're being dropped off there, someone's there.
I mean,
get up and go over to the school.
A system. I hate to be this guy. I do. But, you know, there's got to be a system in place. You know, these are things that I know it's a few years out when you first have a kid. But these are things that you would think you knew this is a bridge you're going to have to cross when your kid became school age. Right. I mean, figure it out. Be the parent.
You'd be surprised how many parents won't even wave to the bus drivers. Sometimes you feel like you're a nobody. Every day I wave to the parents, say good morning, and half the time you get nothing back. I actually wouldn't be surprised, but that's still sad to hear.
Yeah.
Someone said, pay him $50 an hour to drive a bus. Pay the radio host $15 an hour because it's not a hard job. Well, we're already there. Let's get the bus drivers up to 50. You think the bus driver should make as much as a first-year teacher who has a master's degree? Well, I mean, if the teacher has no one in the classroom to teach because there's no one there to get them there, maybe. You got to take care of what's supply and demand. Eventually, you're going to have to meet the demand. It's like what we were talking about with Starbucks, or maybe you weren't here. I forget. But with the union and the art gallery, they were picketing or on strike or something like that. And then, you know, people were bringing up the Starbucks, do they have to have a union? And I said, well, you know, in this economy now where all I've heard from people who run restaurants or service businesses is that they can't find anybody to work, the worker all of a sudden becomes way more valuable. So, yeah, if you want people to work, you're going to have to pay them more money or else you're going to be left with nobody. That's kind of how it works. I mean, a bus driver job, you know, a split shift. I don't know about you, Joe. I couldn't think of anything worse than a split shift.
No.
A split shift, you might as well be working straight.
Yeah.
Because what? Oh, I get 2 hours in the to do what? You got to be right back at work by a certain time. There's only so much you can do. Oh, you can run your errands. Okay, that's Monday. Now, the rest of the week, what am I doing? Like, how many errands do I have to run every single day? There's nothing. You're working a long day.
Don't tell Trevor that.
You're working a long day that not a lot of people want to do. You have more and more people say, I'd rather drive around the Amazon boxes than kids. And who can blame them? You're going to have to do something to attract kids.
That is another issue with the workers, with people not wanting to work. I mean, you know, I see the look on these people's face when they're handing me, you know, a meal to deliver that they probably made, and they're making $15, $16 an hour, and I'm making, you know, $10 off just that order. I'm sure that also plays into it. Oh, I have a car. I think I'll just make my own schedule. I do want to say I'm a little offended by the, you know, yeah, talking is easy. It comes to Brian and I pretty easily, but, you know, you try sitting in front of a mic and you can't take any phone calls. Say the phones are broken. You got to talk for 3 hours. Go. See what you think about this easy job.
I bet you they could do it. someone else.
Challenge accepted.
Somebody else. I walked to school almost a mile until high school. I realized it's a very different world. Yeah, statistically, it's much safer.
Yeah.
No one ever seems to bring that up. You know, it's a different world nowadays. It's a different world. It's a different world. Yes, it's safer.
It is. Technically.
Okay. Child abductions, like what you heard about in the 80s, crime on the streets, like what you heard about, but it's not happening at that level.
No.
Now, in the last 2-3 years, has there been an increase? Yes. We haven't reached that level, but I don't want to get the, you know, if you want to give me the comparison, oh, it's not the same world it was 7 years ago. Okay. You know, 30 years ago? You're talking about a safer neighborhood, generally speaking. It's not going to be true in every single neighborhood. But, again, we're talking about Sweet Home here, and it's not exactly Skid Row on your way to Willow Ridge.
No, but we'll be back tomorrow for Hump Day. David Bellavia is up next. I saw him on TV. I was at the gym yesterday. They were replaying a segment. He was on Fox and Friends, and they were replaying parts of his segment on Fox Business. He will be with you for the next 4 hours after the news with Lucas Buckley here on News Radio 930 WBEN.